Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. It's draft day, finally, and the Cam Ward era for the Titans, we think, begins tonight. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Bruce Feldman from The Athletic. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Good to be on with you.
Good to have you on with us. Appreciate you taking time to do so. So, Bruce, as we said, it feels like the Cam Ward era gets started today for the Tennessee Titans. So as you've talked with people, as you've watched him, as you've gathered information throughout this entire process here, as we sit here today, what should Titans fans be most excited about with him and what he brings to the table, and what's maybe the biggest area of concern with Cam Ward as he steps into the NFL?
The stuff I think people really love about him, including the guys who coached him, is he's super competitive. He's got real leadership qualities, and he's a playmaker who has high, high level arm talent. Like, he can make any throw, you know, any arm angle, just has a really, really high level, ability to make plays, and he's fearless. And I think those things are stuff that people should get excited about. The downside, the one downside with him, I think, is just he can be reckless with the football. There is so much gunslinger in him. There is times, especially I remember watching him last year, early when he got to Miami, you'd watch him and it looked like he was so nonchalant out there just because he has so much confidence in himself. But I think, to me, there is a big gap between him and the other quarterback prospects in this draft. Like, I think he's a legitimate top 10 caliber pick who plays quarterback and happened to be a need there. I think it's wishful thinking on if you're going to try to convince yourself that Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart or whoever would be a guy you want to spend a top 10 pick on. It doesn't surprise me that Cam Ward could be a guy who could be the first pick in the draft with his talent set.
Yeah, and Bruce, in your piece here, it was extensive, talking to a lot of people at the NFL Draft Confidential. One of the quotes that really stuck to me on Ward was, top 10 stroke in the league immediately. I mean, that's saying something on the arm talent. On the intangibles, I mean, it seems like he has a great story. Obviously, he had to overcome being like a zero-star recruit, kept getting better and better. What about just like leading an NFL locker room and all those intangibles that are so important at quarterback?
That's the biggest, I think the biggest thing that the Miami coaches who got him last year could not stop raving about when he got there. Shannon Dawson, the offensive coordinator at Miami, has done a really good job there. And they had previous guys who were, had some ability. Tyler Van Dyke was did some good things. I was going to say he was a fairly talented college quarterback, but they did not have anybody who had the big A-plus leadership skills at that position. It was sorely lacking. And from the moment Cam Ward got there, they were just blown away by what they saw and how teammates responded to him, how he kind of poured into teammates, but what comes out of him on the field in terms of the competitiveness and that kind of character. Now, they didn't make the playoff last year because their defense was really bad, but without him, they're probably a 7-win team last year, maybe not even that. And I think he made Miami nationally relevant last year again. A lot of that was his talent. And as you said, his story, you have a guy who, was running an offense that was just not enough reps of him seeing him play quarterback at what he's going to be asked to do in college. He tore it up at Incarnate Word in San Antonio, then went to Washington State and did a lot of good things without that much talent around him. And then last year, Miami school record for touchdown passes. And even with some of the reckless play, it wasn't like he was through 20 picks. I mean, he had 7 interceptions. I'm sure there was a bunch that probably should have been picked off that were dropped. But I just think it's not just the physical tools. Again, the guys at Miami, and this is long before the draft process started, could not stop raving about what he brought to them in terms of a competitiveness and a leadership thing. He's definitely got that in him.
So, Bruce, sticking with the quarterbacks, like, one of the most intriguing things to me in this draft is going to be when and where Jalen Milroe end up going. And, like, I look at him, you watch his athletic ability. He's got a huge arm, the ability to throw the deep ball. He's probably, in my opinion, a guy that needs to sit and develop. But what do you make of him, and how is he viewed, do you think, when it comes to the NFL and what he could be?
I think he is a developmental guy. I mean, he is blazing fast. I mean, we all watched a lot of SEC football, and there were times where he just ran away from fast guys, and he's a different kind of athlete playing quarterback than most of the top quarterbacks who have come out. Obviously Jaden Daniels can run. I think this guy's even faster than Jaden Daniels, and he's bigger. And he's got a big arm. It's just the accuracy and the consistency part you worry about if you're going to say, hey, how much better can he get at that? But there's a lot of stuff he can do where I think they can build around him. And it's just a question of where does he go? Do they have a package for him? Because of the running ability is so special. I would not put him in the category of, like, Lamar Jackson was obviously a phenomenal player when he came out of Louisville, and it's been a great fit for him with the Ravens. I don't know if he's as ready or as polished or as developed a playmaker and as a passer. The running part is, I think it's there. I think it's at that level, but you worry about, you guys saw, like, when he played Tennessee last year, he was bad. There was games where he was bad, and there was some games where he looked like a Heisman winner. It's just, like, wildly inconsistent. But knowing Kalen DeBoer and some of the people at Alabama, they really speak highly of his work ethic. So at least you feel like with the work ethic there, he's very intelligent on and off the field. You think that you can get it out of him. It just may take 2 or 3 years. And usually for the guys like that, back in the older days, I want to say, like, 20 plus years ago, you could take quarterbacks like that and say, all right, we're not worried about playing them anytime soon. And, in terms of, like, to be the guy to run the offense. And I think that's the way you got to approach it with him now.
Yeah, he's going to be fascinating, because if you're going to go with him at some point, you have to build everything around what he does great. But if he can find that consistency, man, he could be so much fun to watch in this league. Bruce, you wrote about receivers and how it's a very deep class, but maybe not stars in this class. One guy who's of particular interest here, just because he might be there at 35, is Luther Burden. I mean, I never would have guessed for most of this year that he would be, that he would fall out of the first round, but it looks like that's possible. What do you think about him? And I guess, do you feel like this is a class where you can go pretty deep and find a good player that may not be all that different from some of the guys going in the second round?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate, Joe. Like, obviously, he was a huge recruit when he went to Mizzou, and he did really well and had a big 2023. Last year kind of tailed off, and people did wonder about some of that production. He gets compared to Debo, and this has been the case from the moment he got there. He got compared a lot to Debo Samuel because he's so good with the ball in his hands and, maybe not as polished a route runner. The guy who NFL receivers coaches told me, as I mentioned in the confidential piece, is more the guy they think is like Debo Samuel is Savion Williams, who's a bigger receiver from TCU who they used in the Wildcat, and he's also really unpolished and raw. I mean, Luther Burden's one guy. if you ask me, like, who's somebody who maybe you're not as high on as some of the, you know, mock drafts have been, I would say Luther Burden kind of fits in that mode to me. I think there's guys in that range of, you know, who will be much more productive receivers. It's just a matter of, like, you're hoping somebody falls to you there. I mean, you have two really good receivers who played at Iowa State, different, you know, 1.64, the other one's a slot who's like 5'10", 195, super strong, but both are really explosive. I think those guys, you know, could be better fits. Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel, Trey Harris, another guy who tore it up in the SEC, former high school quarterback. I actually think Trey Harris might be a better fit in terms of that. Just got a lot of stuff you really like in terms of his playmaking ability. It was an unconventional offense that he was kind of, it was more like the Tennessee offense, to be honest, an old Baylor offense that they were running there. I think he's a really good player who could be around at that spot. Kyle Williams from Washington State, super quick, very versatile, not as big as Burden, but I think he's much more polished. He's another one that I think will go somewhere in that range.
So, Bruce, the conversation around Travis Hunter obviously is fascinating. I mean, you had somebody, a passing coordinator, throwing out Justin Jefferson at receiver. I think he's going to be one of the greatest cornerbacks in NFL history. And it seems like more people that you've talked to probably lean toward defense. But how do you think it turns out for him? Like, is he actually going to be a legitimate two-way player in this league?
I mean, it's kind of unfathomable that you can do it both ways, practice it, develop. I'm with you what you said. I think he can be one of the best cornerbacks we've seen in the last 25 years. You know, I think he is that special in terms of the ball skills, the instincts, the ability to change a direction, body control. He's football smart. I'm not saying he can't be a terrific receiver. I just think he can impact the game and separate himself. There are so many elite receivers in the NFL. Obviously, Justin Jefferson's one of them. It feels like there's about 8 of them or 10 of them. It does not feel like that with cornerbacks. And again, the guys I talk to, and I think for people who read in the piece, one of the things really interesting to me is their feeling is like, there's a DB coach who makes this analogy about how to play cornerback in the NFL, it's a lot like being a starting pitcher, and you have to almost like paint the whole picture. It's not like, being a closer where you can just come in and dabble in it and make a couple of big plays and come in on third down. And the more people I talked to felt, you know what, it'd be best if he was the guy at corner and then maybe play, you had a package for him on offense. I don't think he wants that right now, but he doesn't know until he did stuff nobody has ever been able to do at such a high level, you know, playing both ways, playing 130 snaps. You know, to me, I do the freaks list every year. The freakiest thing about him is his gas tank and the ability to make amazing plays and still be, looks like the first play of the game, the 130th play of the game. You know, that's rare, and he's always been able to do it. So why would he not think he can't do it in the NFL? Because he's always proved people wrong everywhere he went. But again, the NFL is a different deal than anything he's ever seen. I think eventually he will become that cornerback and then play some on offense, because we just haven't seen anybody do it in the NFL to any extent, like since Roy Green, and it was such a different era. That Roy Green era was like 40 years ago. You know, it's just a different time. And there's been, obviously, Champ Bailey, Charles Woodson. There's been a lot of high-level two-way guys over the years. I mean, there's plenty of elite athletes who want to do it. I just don't think it's realistic these days.
Well, Bruce, you're always really kind with your time. We know it's a busy time of year, and appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Bruce Feldman, Bruce, from The Athletic, our guest on Robbie and Rexroll. We'll react to what Bruce had to say and take a look at tonight's draft beyond Cam Ward and the Titans. What kind of draft could we see? Who's going to slide? who goes maybe a little higher than we think. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.